Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the TJ TV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How is everyone doing today? I hope you guys are doing well. All right. So before I get on with the show, today I was supposed to have a guest, Jason Martinez. He was supposed to come on. We were supposed to do an interview, but he texted me the day before. He was like, hey, TJ, I got like another obligation I have to do. Do you mind if I reschedule it for next week? I'm like, dude, yeah, no problem. You know, if you have something you have to do, that's fine. I don't mind. So Jason Martinez will be on next week, but I was talking to Sam Whalen. And if you guys listen to the show, you know Sam's been on the show before a couple times. And Sam was like, hey, I have a new podcast. Do you mind if I come on and promote it? And I'm like, dude, if you want to promote your podcast, yeah, go for it. This podcast is called No Credits Rolled. And basically, it's a video game podcast. And you know what? I really like it. It seems like a really good idea. I like what he's doing with it. I like what he wants to do with it. So it's just going to be a good podcast. So if you guys want to check that out, go check it out. I'm going to put his links actually down in the description below. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Also, go follow me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, TikTok, TJ producer TJ995, and TJ TV on Facebook, and TGleason22 on YouTube. And like I said, I love doing the show. There are a lot of fun things that I do with the show. It's a very fun and just good time. It's very therapeutic when you do these like podcasts, whether it's with somebody or without somebody. And I know I do a lot of shows without people, but that's the feel I love. I love talking about topics that people want to talk about. I love discussing controversial topics, like with the shooting that happened recently and the national security threat. It's very therapeutic and it gets a lot off your chest because there's a lot of things you want to say to people that you can't say in a regular setting. Likewise, you can't say something like, you know, I think the shooting was okay, or I don't like the shooting, because it might trigger something in a lot of people. We live in a time where a lot of things are really extreme. Like, we have a lot of controversial things happening. We have shootings happening. We have a threat of nuclear war happening every 5 minutes. And it seems that whenever you do a podcast or talk about this stuff, a lot of people get very antsy about these subjects. But what I do is, whenever I do subjects like this, I like to give both sides of the argument, then give my side of the argument and what I feel and how I feel with this certain, like, you know, topic that's going on in this world. And this world is crazy. There's a lot of weird things and scary things happening. We live in scary times, and I'm here to give you guys an outlet to talk and to give your feelings and ideas about what to do or what to say and how to feel when it comes to this certain topic that we discuss. And you know what? I know a lot of people do like my content. I know a lot of people say I'm controversial when it comes to certain things as well. We live in a time where there's a lot of controversial topics and we have to talk about it. There has to be an outlet to talk about controversial topics. For example, COVID-19. I remember in 2020, I did 3 episodes every week during the pandemic because I was afraid of, or let's say I wasn't really afraid, but it was just something to talk. It was just someone or something to talk about. There was something to talk about every 3 days, and we were all scared, living at home for a full year, not working, just listening to whatever. So that's my outlet. I'm giving people an outlet to say what they feel. I have my opinions, you have your opinions, and we all have different opinions, but we can all share our opinions together. And that was a mouthful. So without further ado, I'm just going to roll the interview. And then I'll play a song, and then I'll be back for the closing. So hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, follow me on Spotify and Google Podcasts. And if you guys want, go check out Sam's podcast, No Credits Rolled. So yeah. All right. I'll see you guys on the other side. All right. I'm here with Sam Whalen, and it's been like 2 months since you've been on, right? It's been
something like that. Yeah, I think I popped on. I forget what we did. The holiday theme songs, maybe?
Yeah, the holiday theme songs.
And I'm back.
And you're back. You're back. Guess who's back, bitches?
Me.
Anyways, so Sam has a new podcast.
That's right, I do. I only came on for pure self-motivation and promotion. Yeah, my new show is called No Credits Rolled. It's a gaming podcast. We talk about video games, video game news, video game reviews. I think we're at three episodes now. Hoping to get another one out either this week or next week. So yeah, go check it out. It's up on all podcast providers. No Credits Rolled.
What inspired you to do that?
Honestly, you kind of did. Like, you know, I see you doing the show all the time, and I was like, well, it'd be a good thing to have on a resume, you know, just showing that you can do this consistent production. And pretty much the only thing I'm very passionate about is video games. So I was like, well, I might as well do a show about that. So I did, and here we are.
What's your favorite video game?
My favorite of all time.
Of all time.
That is tough. It used to be Overwatch, and then they ruined it. So I don't know if I could say that anymore. I don't know. Probably God of War 2018. I think that one, just the story of that game really hits for me. And I love that game a lot. I've played it multiple times all the way through. So yeah, that's probably a safe answer. What about you?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean,
I know.
So I'd say Spider-Man, but there's too many Spider-Man games to say that are good. But I think my favorite game of all time would probably be Resident Evil 4.
The remake or the original?
The original.
Okay. Did you play the remake? I think you did, right?
Yeah. I think I got it like a few months like after it was released, and then I was telling you about it. And did you get it before me or after? I can't remember.
I think I got it before you, and then I ended up finishing it. But I think you might have beaten it before me.
Yeah, I beat it when I went to Florida. Literally the day before we went to Florida, or the day of that we went to Florida, we beat the game, or I beat the game, really. But no, the original was actually more scarier than the new one. I think the new one, it has too much commentary and... Not commentary, but like, you know what I mean? They talk too much in the game, I feel like.
Like the characters themselves
the dialogue,
talk too much?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
In the original one, like, it was just so like... It was like found footage type deal, which I love.
Yeah, I never played the original, so I only know the remake. Like, I've seen people play parts of it, but I've never myself sat down and played through the whole thing. And yeah, there definitely was, I think when I talked about it on, not my show, but a different show, I talked about how the remake is like an action movie. Like, it's like an 80s action movie, kind of, with like the one-liners, and by the end you have like all these different kinds of guns. It's not necessarily scary. It is a little bit in the beginning when you're in that village section. But as you go on for the game, you know, you have like a GTA weapon wheel by the end, so you're not really threatened by much.
That's the thing. Like, I'll never forget though, when I played Resident Evil, I wasn't paying attention to the gun selection, so I sold my pistol.
Oh yeah.
And I kept getting handgun ammo the whole entire, like, the rest of the game. And I'm thinking, like, I don't have any other ammo. I don't have any pistols or guns, and I couldn't get the pistol back until I figured out that I can go further hanging out with the merchant, go further like to the right, and you can get your gun back. But I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I didn't play a whole lot of survival horror games until fairly recently in my life. And one of the things I realized about those games is that you're supposed to use all your weapons. Like, you might like the shotgun the most, but the game puts you in situations where you need to use all your weapons.
Yeah.
The remake is an example of that, where if you sell your handgun, there's going to be a section of the game where you're only getting handgun ammo, and you're kind of screwed. So.
And the knife section, I hate it. Like, you could use your knife so much that it would break, and you would have to recraft it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I hated about the remake.
You could fully upgrade the knife, though, so you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I...
And then it's really broken, because you can just fight everything with the knife, no consequences.
I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really... Like, I guess if you were to do New Game Plus, because I think you carry over your upgrades, you can't do it in the first playthrough until closer to the end of the game. But I was using that knife left and right, so I upgraded that, and I think I upgraded the pistol, even though there's so many different kinds of pistols. But yeah, the knife is awesome. And they added that for the remake, too. That wasn't in the original.
I didn't know that.
I don't think it was. Like, maybe it was, but not... There wasn't the parrying mechanic.
Right.
Where you can parry stuff. And man, that was cool in the remake. Every time you did it, it looked so sick.
In the original, you, like, Leon had the knife up here, and you could just, like, slash people, and that was it, and it didn't break or anything.
Yeah.
So, which is what I liked, but, no, I do like Resident Evil as a series, just because it is survival horror, mm-hmm. But the fourth one I liked, and the remake was okay, but, I mean, the original one is all the way for me.
So, have you played any of the other remakes, like 2 or 3?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because the first one I played was 2, and that was a big step for me with the whole spooky games that I tend to avoid. Really enjoyed 2, though. I thought it was great. And that's much more of like a horror game, even though you still get like a rocket launcher by the end. But spoilers. And then 3 was like, all right. 3 was kind of the one that everybody was like, all right, well, this game, when it initially came out, wasn't super well reviewed. And it's hard to follow up 2. And it was kind of the same thing with the remake. Like, it was good, but it was kind of short. And it was like, eh, you know. Did you get to play either one of those?
Yeah, so I played Resident Evil 2, and now you're right on that. It was more spookier because you're in a police precinct. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name. Thanks. But no, the one character that scared me the most in that game was Mr. X.
Yep. Terrifying.
And he's unbeatable.
Yeah, you blow him up at the end, but I think he still survives. But it's like Jason Voorhees or something, or Michael Myers, where he's just constantly hunting you down. And even, I think, didn't they do the thing where even if you're in a safe room, you're not safe, and he can still show up potentially?
He can. So what I did was I would go to the safe room, wait for him to walk back down, and once he got down to the last step, he would reappear. He would just start walking up.
Okay.
But you can, so like, you could shoot the guy to the point where he's like disabled for like 5 seconds, and then you could hit him and then run away or whatever. But I hated that guy. I still do. It gives me nightmares sometimes.
Did you see all the mods where it was like, there was one, the one I remember the most, it was like Thomas the Tank Engine. So when Mr. X appears, it's Thomas the Tank Engine chasing you down the hallway. I was a big fan of that.
I didn't see that, no. The third one, though, I did play, that was okay. I wasn't a fan of that, though.
Yeah, it's just kind of mid, you know? And like, I think it's really because 2 and 4 are so critically acclaimed already, and 3's kind of forgotten. It's going to be the same thing if they do a remake of 5. Nobody liked 5. And 6. I played 6, Resident Evil 6, recently with a friend, and that game is not good, but it's really fun if you have a co-op partner, because the game is just, like, absurd.
It's such a long game, and there's too many storylines. You got Chris's storyline, Leon's storyline, and Ada's storyline, and then Wesker's son, his storyline's in the game, too.
Yeah, he's fun. He's edgy.
What about Village? Did you ever play like Resident Evil 7 and Village?
No, I can't. The 7 and 8 are too spooky for me. I've heard 8 is not as scary as 7, but I really think for me, when it comes down to these horror games, I can't do first person. The first person is so terrifying. Like, I have played the beginning of Resident Evil 7 multiple times, and just pulling up to that Louisiana like house and like walking into that kitchen that you initially get to, I gotta turn it off. It's so scary, and like, there's something about it where, like, even if I have all the lights on, the sound turned down, the fact that it's first person and, like, there's no escaping that is just, it like, affects me at my core.
Well, so that game, I remember when it came out, I got it literally the first weekend it came out, and I was by myself. My parents were on vacation or whatever, and it was just me and my dog. And I remember...
That's not a good game to play when you're alone.
No, it isn't. And, like, I lived in a suburb neighborhood, so I would hear noises constantly because I had a twin house, so you could hear people next door, people outside. So, like, every time I would play that game and I heard a noise, I would freak out because I was so scared. I mean...
Yeah, I bet.
I think I was 22, and then my friends were like, hey, you want to come over and have a couple beers? I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I was like, see you, Max.
And then they put it out in VR.
Did they do... I didn't know that.
They put 7 and 8, and I think they recently did 4 in VR as well.
I know about 4, yeah.
Yeah, 4 I might be able to do, but for like, VR is a whole different discussion. I can't really do VR, especially if it's a horror game. Like, no thanks. I refuse. I can't even play the game regularly in first person, let alone putting a headset on and being even more immersed in that environment. No thanks.
Does it make you nauseous?
Like, VR? It can. The most nauseous I ever got in VR was playing... Star Wars Squadrons, the flying game. So it's any time you like rotate and you break that plane when you're spinning, that like, I can't handle that. That makes me sick. But if it's just kind of on rails, shooting stuff, like, I'm fine with that. But yeah, anytime you're spinning or height, going up and down, like we played Minecraft, I think, at one point, and we built a tower and fell off the tower, that was so disorienting because your character is falling, but you're not, but you get that sensation of falling. Really weird. And maybe, you know, with more time in the VR verse, I could adapt. But I was like, nah, I'm good. It's very gimmicky for me.
I played this roller coaster game. I can't remember what it was called.
I would vomit.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Because you're going up and down, twists and turns, and it just wasn't appetizing. Like,
Yeah, no, that it takes a certain breed of people. That was like, there's, if you've ever been to like Dave & Buster's, they used to have machines where you would get in, and it's not VR, but like it's a really big screen and you're really close to it, so it's kind of like VR.
Yeah.
And it's a motion ride, so you're getting all that stuff, and yeah, people would get pretty sick in those too.
No, I've done that before. You said it was at, what, Dave & Buster's?
I think that's where I saw that, or maybe it was at the Funplex. That's a Jersey reference for all you Jersey residents out there. It was like a big... almost like a flight simulator, like a big box you got in, and in the front was a big TV screen, and then it was different scenarios you could get, and one of them was a roller coaster. There was like a safari, there was like a sci-fi one, and it would basically just shake you a lot simulate motion.
I think I've been on that before.
Yeah.
No, but I can't do VR, and I read that there's a VR Titanic game where you can...
How's it end?
Well, you have to survive the Titanic. It's sinking... And I think it's like maybe, I don't even know how long it is, but you have to find your way out of the Titanic and get your way up to the top of the ship because you're on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
So I read that on, I saw that on a...
That
Facebook.
Actually sounds kind of fun. I mean, it's kind of, it's a little disrespectful because it was a real thing that happened. But I guess we're making World War II games all the time. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, next thing they're going to make is like a 9/11 game. You're on the top of the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like that's the future of games. Just make it real.
Yeah. That does sound interesting. I don't know if I'd want to play that because I'd probably panic, especially if it's like a time-based thing and like you see the water rising. I think that would be very stressful. But I think it could be interesting. Again, you know, I'm sure the families of the people that died in the Titanic probably aren't thrilled with it, but hey.
Or they're not alive. I mean.
Or yeah, by this point, you might not have to worry about it.
Well, that's what they're going to do in like 100 years from now. It's going to be like... Survived the attacks of 9/11. You're on the top floor, and
yeah, that's not gonna go for well.
Well,
but I guess we don't have Pearl Harbor in any games, but we do have like D-Day. I mean, that was not necessarily, it wasn't on like Pearl Harbor where it was, you know, civilians and things dying, but that's still a real thing, and people are still dying, and there's plenty of versions of D-Day in various games.
Well, it's also with other games too. Like, there's so many real life events that could happen, like Spider-Man, for example. Like, in certain games, like, buildings are getting bombed, and
yeah,
so like I feel like it's not going to be, it kind of is a little disrespectful, but it also, I feel like when they do that, they're trying to make real life scenarios of what could happen and how to, I guess, go through. I don't know.
Well, there's also like you're trying to capture the feeling, like, there's a lot of that in like movies and stuff after 9/11, like Cloverfield. And like a lot of those found footage things, capturing that post 9/11 world of like the, like what the military is going to do in this very real situation. So you get the vibes of that, but it's another thing to directly, you know, put that in a video game.
I don't know. I do love video games. So my favorite game as a kid was Spyro and Crash. Those were my favorite two.
I was a big Spyro fan.
Were you?
Yeah. Have you played the remasters of them both?
Yeah, I played the remaster of Crash was hard, though.
Because Crash is hard.
it is. Spyro was easy. I got that. I beat game easily. But Crash, like, I couldn't get past like a certain point. I just quit because I was done with it.
Yeah, I never played Crash as a kid because I was bad at it. The platforming in that game never made any sense to me. It never felt precise enough. Like, when he would jump and do that flip and land, I always felt like it was like 2 inches off of where I actually wanted to land. but Spyro was my jam. I was a big Spyro fan.
What about Ratchet and Clank?
Never played that, but I did play the remakes when they remastered the first one. Or I don't think it was a remaster. I think it was a whole new game, but they just went back to just calling it Ratchet and Clank. And then I started Rift Apart. Didn't get very far, but man, is that game visually impressive, especially with the PS5. I don't know if you've played that one at all.
No, not yet.
It's really, really good. And I did enjoy those games. I just never got around to finishing them.
What about... So one game that I always loved to play was True Crime Streets of L.A.
Yeah, you were talking about this off air. I've not heard of this one.
So basically it's about a cop, an undercover cop, who goes to L.A. to uncover the mystery of his dad, who was a cop, and his dad disappeared. And basically it's, I think it goes 8 days, and then there's alternative missions where it's like 5 or 6 days ahead where you could just play.
Right.
There's 5 missions, and basically every day is a new... a new case that he's trying to get, you know, get to.
Oh, I just looked it up, and this cover is, I remember this cover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never played this one. Is this like a OG Xbox game?
PlayStation, Xbox.
Okay.
GameCube. I also, there's another game too. It's called Streets of New, or no, I don't think it's Streets of New York. I think it's just called New York City. And that game is, I don't like that. I don't like New York just because, like,
the city or the game?
The game. The game style is weird. Like, it's not like true crime. It's not like L.A. L.A., like...
Well, there's true crime New York City.
That's the one. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that one.
Yeah, it seems like in that era of games, you had a lot of GTA 3 ripoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like Driver. I played Driver 3 a lot, even though apparently that game is not beloved. People hate that game, but when I was a kid, any game I could play where I could shoot something, big fan. I was a big fan of video game violence as a kid. Still am, I guess, but now it's not as verboten as it used to be.
Yes. I mean, I never played GTA until GTA 4.
Same. Yeah. I never played 3. I really didn't even play 4. My stepdad owned it, and I played it on his Xbox, and but it was like, you know, I was like 10 or like 11.
Yeah.
So I was trying to sneak it. And then anytime anything bad came up, I was like, oh, I want to make sure no one sees this. I did play, speaking of GTA ripoffs, played a lot of Saints Row 2, all the Saints Row games, except for the first one, because I was too young when that came out. But 2 onward, love Saints Row.
Yeah.
Saints Row 2 like has a very special place in my heart because it was, okay, well, you can't have GTA. Here's like Diet GTA.
My mom never let me play GTA or Call of Duty for that matter either.
Oh, really?
So like my mom is very like, I don't know. She's one of those parents where like if you play a game that has violence, sex, guns, whatever, then like... basically, you're going to go and shoot up a school. That's how right. She made it. And my mom was very, I guess you could say, sheltered when mm-hmm. it came to video games. Because I remember I wanted to get the Jackass video game when it came out. And she said...
There's a Jackass video game?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. Is it like a Tony Hawk game? Like getting points and stuff for stunts?
Well, it's basically you're doing just a stupid stunt. And it's every... I believe it's just like a mission, like a stunt, a mission. And it's stupid. I mean, but I wanted the game. And she saw it said sexual references, and she told me no, which is why I got Resident Evil 4.
So that's much safer for your child brain.
Yeah. I think I was like 13 or 14 when I got 4 on the PS2.
I looked up the Jackass game. This looks pretty fun.
So everyone's in it but Bam. Bam's not in it for some reason.
Would he not like give his likeness or something?
I think it was just because like he was doing too many projects at once, but Ryan Dunn's in it, so I don't know.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, but that game's fun, and you can play as Johnny, Steve-O, Wee Man, all the guys, and the one stunt that they have is you're on a roof with a shopping cart. And
yeah, that was what came up in the images. Going downhill?
Well, no, these guys, they're on a roof, though.
Oh.
And like,
here it is, yeah.
Is that what you see?
Yeah, you might not be able to see because I'm in the studio and you're in the control room. Yeah, I can see it.
And you had to stop at a certain point and say if, like, there are 3 lines. And if you pass, like, one of the lines, you're the furthest. And if you fall off the roof, you lose the challenge.
Right.
That was a fun game.
So was it like it looks like a little bit of Tony Hawk, a little bit like Mario Party, like party games. It looks interesting. It looks unique, that's for sure. Here's a Johnny Knoxville T-posing. That's pretty fun.
There's a pogo stick mission, if I remember correctly, a golf cart mission. And I was actually on TikTok. They were playing the game, and Steve-O was the character, and he was running over the workers.
Oh.
But, yeah, there are certain challenges you have to complete in order to get to the next story of the game.
Oh, there's a story?
Yeah, it's for, like, the new season of Jackass. I know people who've beaten the game. I never got to play it, but I've seen... walkthroughs of it.
Yeah, you could probably emulate it, you know, for legal reasons. We're joking about emulation, of course, but you could probably emulate it. Yeah. I don't know how well those games can, like that PS2 era can be emulated. I've never tried. Legally, I've never tried any, just so we're clear. but yeah, I mean, you can, and if you go to like a old game store, you might have a copy of it, or you could probably buy it on eBay.
Oh yeah, I sold my PlayStation 2.
Yeah, if I could go back in time and just save all that stuff. My one friend, she still has like a GameCube, and I think she still has a Wii. She holds on to all that hardware.
I just don't think it's like profitable anymore.
Well, no, for her it's more nostalgic, and because with the state of emulation, especially when it comes to Nintendo games, it's like it's not impossible. It's actually pretty easy to emulate most games, but like there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through, and if you just have the console that still works, then that's the easiest way to do it.
My favorite game on the PlayStation 2, another favorite game of mine, is The Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yeah, we talked about that before. I didn't play that, but I played a little bit of it, actually. But I played the Simpsons movie game quite a bit.
Is that the one where...
It's like an action game, kind of?
Action game, yeah. I tried to get into that. I couldn't get into that. What about the Family Guy game?
Never played that.
Played that? Oh, man, that's a good game. But they made like a sequel to the Family Guy game, and that's on PlayStation.
Oh, really?
I think.
For the record, you can get the Jackass game on eBay for like $20.
Really?
I mean, you have to have a PlayStation 2 to play it, but...
Yeah, I sold that a long time ago. Yeah. that wasn't even my PlayStation, so my dad got it for my sister and I, and then when my sister moved out, I had a PlayStation 2, and then I bitched at my parents. I was like, I want a 360 or something.
Mm.
And I got a 360, and then I wanted the Xbox One, so my parents told me no more video games, so when I got a job, I just said, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to buy it myself.
Yeah, you got adult money. Yeah, I was always an Xbox kid because that was what my dad played. So I was very, like, Halo is like one of my, like, cherished franchises. But one day I went to Walmart with my grandmother and they had a PS3 set up in Infamous.
Right.
The first Infamous game was the demo. And I played that and I was like, I have to have this game. This is the coolest game I've ever played. And at the time, the PS3s were like $700. But I was very fortunate and I was able to get one eventually. I've always been very fortunate when it comes to what games I have access to. And that was one of the times where, like, I ended up getting the PS3 and I was so excited. And then, like, I barely used it except for Infamous. Because I don't know if you remember, but the PS3 interface was, like, the ugliest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It was so hard to understand how to do anything. But the Xbox 360, also a very special place in my heart, playing all the demos and stuff off of off the store. It's a very nostalgic time for me. I think I could still, by heart, memorize the Mirror's Edge demo because I played it so many times.
I saw Infamous on a YouTube video, and I wanted the PlayStation 3 so badly, but my parents refused because they said, well, we got you a 360, so you don't need a PlayStation 3.
But you're like, what about, you don't understand console exclusives, Mom. You don't get it. I can't get it on Xbox.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate with, like, PlayStation and Xbox, how, like, certain games, like, are on certain systems, and I get what they're doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm not going to go out and buy another Xbox, like, buy a new Xbox just for a certain game. I could just watch the gameplay on YouTube if I really want to.
Well, hey, the upcoming episode of No Credits Rolled, episode 4, which is going to go up either this week or next week at the time of recording, is going to be a little bit about that, because Xbox is rumored they're going to start putting their games, allegedly, if the rumors are true, they're going to start putting their games on PlayStation.
Oh, really?
And even Switch. So, yeah, you might not have to worry about that much longer.
Hey, that would be great. I love... See, that's the thing. Like, when I had the Xbox and the new Spider-Man came out, I was really pissed off at myself.
Oh, yeah.
But then when I started dating Tori, that's when she had the PlayStation. I was like, oh, right. I was like, this is great. I think I sold my Xbox One, too, right before we got the PlayStation 4.
Well, PC gamers are winning in the end because
you
can get both on PC. Sony's putting a lot of their games on PC, and there's Xbox Games Pass PC, Xbox games on PC. Now, the risk you run with PC is, first off, it's really expensive because you're constantly upgrading your hardware. But also, the ports, like, you might be able to get Last of Us on PC, but it looks really weird. Do you remember when that came out and you had, like, Caveman Joel? Yeah. So you're not always getting the finest port to PC. But having the option is still pretty good considering, you know, we're so used to these console exclusives.
I played The Last of Us during the pandemic. Actually,
that's fitting.
I played The Last of Us Part 2 during the pandemic. But I played the first one, and the clickers were the scariest part of that game.
Yeah.
And I remember I couldn't get past, it was like early on in the game when you first see the clickers. And I remember you had to, like, do a certain puzzle to get past them, like throw a bottle so you can go and knife them. I didn't know that. And then the second game, I played that during the pandemic because I was unemployed, like probably most of us were.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the game up so loud because Tori was at work. So I made the whole apartment like feel like I was in the game.
Wow.
To the point where my landlord knocked on my door and yelled at me.
Please turn it down. I've been playing. I went back to the second game recently because they released the remastered version for PS5. And they were generous enough to make you only pay $10 for an upgrade if you owned it. Whereas with the first Last of Us, it was a full $70 game. So I've been playing, they released a roguelite mode, which I talked about on one of my episodes. Just kind of getting back into the flow of the combat of that game. And the combat is really fun, and it feels very real. But the story of 2, I was like, this is so depressing. I finished it, but I was like, damn, do we really need it to be this sad the whole time? And it makes me wonder how they're going to take the show going forward with season 2, because they have Abby casted, and I think they've got some other casting announcements as well. But is it going to be as horrifically depressing as the game? Probably.
With my thing is, I think they should have waited to do the Last of Us TV series. They should have waited to produce that, because they still got to make 3, and the game's going to go like continuously.
You think they're going to make 3?
It's already confirmed, I read.
Oh, is it?
I read that they're making The Last of Us Part 3.
Oh, see, because what I remember that being is that they were going to make that Factions game that was going to be a multiplayer game. That got canned, and I didn't know there were plans for a 3, but I guess.
I could look that up. I read that somewhere.
I think if you're going to make a 3rd game, I know people love Ellie, and I do too, but like that story, I feel like, ended with the second one. I mean, this is spoilers for Last of Us Part 2 if you're listening at home and haven't played it. She goes off to find Dina, her wife or girlfriend, I don't know if they're married, and their child, but like she's been, like everyone's left her because she's so consumed with revenge, and like it's very depressing. Maybe you could do like a Walking Dead thing where it's a flash forward and it's their kid that's now all grown up, I would like to like maybe see an anthology thing where it's a bunch of short stories. I think you could do a lot of interesting things with that. I don't know. I mean, so I'm sure Sony would like to make a 3rd one because it'll make a bajillion dollars.
It doesn't say it's confirmed, but it says like they should do it, they shouldn't do it. It's like a bunch of biased articles.
I'd have to research it, but I'm pretty sure Neil Druckmann, like the guy that's behind all this, was like, we'll make a 3rd one if we feel the story needs to be told, or like if I feel like there's something I need to say, which is reassuring to hear, but you know, dump truck full of gold, maybe we'll change his mind.
Maybe. The one thing I liked about that game was the new one. Like, you felt like you were in the apocalypse.
Yeah, like the environment design and the combat, very realistic.
Yeah, and plus, like, with the pandemic and no one outside.
You locked in your apartment playing it probably helped.
So I will say, though, like, playing video games during the pandemic was probably the only thing that got me through it. Got me through the pandemic, because there was Fortnite, everybody was out, and Grand Theft Auto 5 online.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the best times, like, playing.
Yeah, for me and my friends, it was Warzone. The original Warzone came out, and I don't know if that was during the pandemic, but we certainly played a lot of it during the pandemic. And it was before, you know, modern Warzone. We could have a whole podcast about that, or at least I could, because I have a lot of opinions. But, like, my friends and I, we would play that almost every night during the pandemic, because we couldn't hang out in person. And it was just, it was a lot of fun, and it killed a lot of time, which is the most important thing.
That's the one thing the one thing I didn't like about playing by myself, there was no one to talk to except for people online, and like, I don't know, I felt
you
that.
You hopping in general chat with your mic?
Yeah.
Having people yell at you, or were you the one yelling at others?
Oh, I was the one killing people. in GTA, I would just kill random people, and people would get so pissed off. They would be like, what the hell? And then it got to the point where this one kid, I kept killing him so many times, and I heard his dad in the background. He was like, shut the hell up. He was like, you shut up. And then I heard more yelling, and then the mic shut off.
Yeah, it's a lot of children. Anytime you go into any kind of, I usually turn my voice chat off because I'm usually partied up with friends. But anytime you go into a general voice chat, it's, especially if you're playing something like Fortnite or something, it is like 10-year-olds. And you're like, I don't feel comfortable being in here. And they're also really annoying.
Oh, my God. And they curse so much.
Yeah, they're tough.
When I was a kid, if I did that, I would get my ass beat.
Well, yeah, but, you know, children are iPad kids now these days. They're indoctrinated very early to be online.
Whenever I have kids, they're not getting iPads. That's just a side note right there.
You should get them what's that thing called? Leapfrog?
Yeah, Leapfrog. Is that even relevant?
Is that what it's called? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
it was like Leapfrog. A Game Boy, but for children.
I mean, is that even relevant anymore?
I don't know. I enjoyed mine quite a bit.
I never had one. Well, remember, I was one of the last kids.
I am an iPad kid, by the way, because you're like, what are you, 28?
29.
I'm 24, so within that 5 years, they started giving kids the iPads.
Oh, they're still around. I mean, you can get one on Amazon for like $98.
That's pretty expensive.
Yeah. No, but so my generation was the last, probably one of the last generations to play outside.
Mm.
I was born
I play outside.
Well, you like one of those generations that would play outside till dark.
Yeah.
That was probably my last generation. But video games were also rainy days and snow days.
Yeah, I had a little bit of both of that. I would play with neighborhood kids quite a bit outside. But then when the Wii came out, that was like...
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me. Like, I played a lot of Smash Brothers. I played a lot of Super Mario Galaxy. But then my friends and I would play a ton of those games as well. Not Galaxy, but a lot of Smash Brothers. And that was sort of the transition from playing outside to not.
What, did you ever play the Wii Sports?
Oh, yeah. That was another one, yeah.
What was your favorite?
I liked baseball quite a bit. Baseball? Bowling was pretty fun. Those are the only two I really remember. I know there was, what, boxing. Was there another one?
Tennis?
Oh, yeah, tennis, yeah.
Or was that with the Mario and Sonic Olympic
game? The Olympic Games. I think I had that game.
I had that.
That game was not good.
You didn't like that?
No, I don't. I remember it being like, because I was very into Wii Sports, and it wasn't like as easy. I feel like there was more steps to it.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive, though.
That was a great era. I mean, so when you were born, what year?
99. So I think the Wii came out in like 2007.
Yeah, so we grew up in that good era, and you know, I do miss that time when like the Wii was out and stuff.
The Wii came out in November 19th, 2006, so I was like 7 years old, probably. Yeah.
I was like 13, maybe.
I remember I got one for Christmas, and it was a big deal. And my mom paid like triple the price because I wanted it so bad, so she bought it like upscaled.
My sister got it, and... we would always play like the sport games. There's another game that you could play. I can't remember what was it called? I know you could play Resident Evil on it, but
oh really?
It was only certain games. Yeah, it was like Resident Evil Zero or something like that. And like the paddle,
the Wiimote?
Yeah, the Wiimote. Yeah. You could slash it with that's your knife.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, because I like that, and because I still had my GameCube at the time, and I had all my GameCube games, and you could play GameCube games on the Wii. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Super Smash Bros. Melee on the GameCube was fun.
I played a lot of Brawl, because that was the game that I got with the Wii, so I played a ton of Brawl, and I didn't learn anything. Like, there are people that are really good at Smash, I'm not one of them, but the campaign, the single player for that game, is another one that's very special in my heart, just because it was so cool, and like, I think it planted the seeds for me loving crossovers of characters, no matter how dumb they are, and because the crossovers in that were a lot of fun.
I'm playing Super Smash Bros. on the Switch, and I only go after one character, and that's Ridley. He's the best.
The dragon from Metroid?
Yeah, yeah, he's like one of the best players on there, and I beat every single new person I get. Like Mega Man, for example, he sucks.
Take that, Mega Man.
Like, he does. Like, he's so small, and, like...
Why you gotta call him out for his height, bro? He's trying, all
right? He's small, but... And when he shoots his laser, it's a little ball, and that doesn't do any damage.
Like Mega Man.
Yeah. Mega lame.
Got him. I think I played as... When I got Brawl, I picked Meta Knight as my first character, because I thought he looked the coolest, only to find out... Now that he was busted at the time. But like I said, I didn't learn anything, so I don't really know. When I play Smash, I go to like the main original roster, like Link, or I'm a big Diddy Kong fan. He's like my favorite Nintendo character ever. So I'll play, even though he's not that good, I'll play as him just because I think I love monkeys and Diddy Kong's the best.
What about Mario?
Like in Smash?
Yeah.
He's all right. You know, I mean, he's Mario, he's a classic, but like I would much rather play as like Link. Because he's got the sword and shield, and I just think that's a cool combo.
There's one character called Pokemon Trainer, and you can play, and basically, he just throws Charizard, Squirtle, or...
Bulbasaur?
Venusaur, I think.
Well, isn't... Who's the? Isn't Bulbasaur like the stage one and the evolve into Venusaur and then?
It's yeah, Ivysaur? But it's only Venusaur though. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. So it goes Squirtle, then Venusaur, then Char. I see what they're doing with it, but if like say if you die as Squirtle, he'll throw out Charizard. Say if you die as Charizard, he throws out Venusaur.
Oh, it's like it. Oh yeah, I think you're right because it's like one first evolution of the one, second evolution of the other, and then Charizard is the third.
And Charizard's a badass in that one.
Yeah, Charizard's super cool.
But I can't play. I tried to play as Mario. Wasn't my favorite. Pikachu's okay. Link, Seamus? Isn't that his name? Or Samus.
Samus.
I say Irish wrestler.
Yeah.
I always say, for some reason, I say Seamus a lot. And then they're like, Samus. I'm like, who's that?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, I do love the Switch, though. It's fun. But, Dead Space, you ever play that?
I actually just finished the remake recently.
Did you really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't finish the remake at all.
It was pretty good. A lot of padding, a lot of filler.
Really?
Yeah, like an absurd amount of filler. I love the game. That's probably my biggest complaint is that there's just a ton of filler in the game. Like, there's so many parts where, like, by the end, I was like, oh my god, please just end. There are so many parts where you're going to talk about this in my review in episode 2, I think, of, or no, episode 3, the latest one of my show. Shameless plug again. But there's so many parts where you're like, you're building up to a big moment or a big point in the story.
Right.
And it's like, nah, just kidding. You got to go do like this, all this other stuff and then come back and do it. Like literally at the end of the game, before you get to the very, very last part of the game, there's a part where you walk out to a shuttle to leave.
Right.
You get to the shuttle. Someone gets shot. The shuttle flies away. You walk all the way into the back into the control room, talk to someone, then walk all the way back to the shuttle. It's like, it's insane.
Well, that's the game. It's a lot of backtracking.
I know, but like, I think it might be because it is a remake of that original game, so the gameplay design might be a little bit dated. That being said, still a ton of padding. Everything else about the game I love. I think it looks incredible. I talk about in my review how if you just put the camera anywhere in that game and just look, it looks so cool. Like, the environment of the Ishimura is like, or Mura, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Ishimura,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of the coolest video game environments I've ever been in. I love the weapons because they're unique. You know, we talk about Resident Evil 4 and you're getting like traditional firearms. But in this, because you're like an engineer miner guy, they're all very unique, like bolt weapons and lasers and stuff. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of creativity behind the game. And it makes sense why it's so popular and why it got that remake.
So my complaint with that game is basically the same reason as RE4. There's too much dialogue. In the first Dead Space, there was no dialogue. And every time he would get hit, you would just hear him scream like,
There's no dialogue.
Really. No dialogue of him. You don't even see his face at all.
Yeah, he takes his helmet off like constantly in the remake. I'm like, that must have been added.
Yeah, that was so added. Like, so you could only see the back of his face. And then at the very end of the game, he would take off his helmet, and you would see that.
You get that jump scare?
Yeah.
Yeah, you still get that jump scare, spoilers.
Really?
It was very obvious that was coming. Because he's sitting there in the... spoilers for the Dead Space remake, everybody. But he's sitting there in the ship after you finish blowing up whatever you're doing. And he's sitting there, and everything behind him is all black. I'm like, all right, something's definitely going to jump out. And then, obviously, his zombie dead wife is next to him and, like, jumps at him. I was like, all right, whatever.
She was kind of hot.
She looks really old in the remake. I don't know if she's supposed to look old, but...
She looked older in the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or, I mean, in the original.
Isaac looks like a goofball. He takes his helmet off constantly, so you can see his face, and he just looks weird.
I do like Resident Evil. Or Resident Evil. I keep saying that. I do like Dead Space, but, like I said, the dialogue is just too constant. And it was the same thing with the second one, and the third one, I played it briefly, but the thing about the third one, you had to craft your weapons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you had to physically craft them yourself. And if you crafted it the wrong way, if you were versing like a big like spider, like giant, you would lose.
Yeah, I've heard that the games get worse as they go, and they kind of peaked with the first one.
Yeah.
And that being said, I could totally see why, because if the trends of the first one continued and got worse in the second and third one, like the padding, I'm like, there's like so many moments in the game, for an example, where like you're doing something, and I already referenced this, but like you'll get that quarantine lockdown. You just have to fight a bunch of guys. It's like, this is pointless. Like, yeah. Why are we doing this? Like, it's just to have more combat. And the combat's fun, right? The enemy variety is great. The weapons feel good. But it's like, after the 15th timer, I just want to walk across the ship and not have the whole room locked down and have to fight a bunch, especially at the end when you get, I don't know if you got far enough where you, and you play the original.
Yeah.
But where you get the guys that like are really fast and have the stasis things in their chest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're so annoying. They're like borderline like bulletproof, and they just, they speed up to you and mess you up, and it's like, oh, my God, this is so annoying.
But the one thing I don't like about the new, about the remake, they just put you in medium. Like, that's the only mode that you could play. You can't switch it to easy if you really wanted to.
Oh, I must have just left it. I didn't even realize that.
No, like, it literally, when I started playing the game, it just said medium. I was like, oh, I was like, this is kind of hard for medium.
There were a couple parts where I got stuck because I saved with low health and then couldn't find health packs. So you're doing it over and over again with, like, two bars of health trying to get through this whole encounter.
Yeah.
There's one part specifically that I remember now that I got stuck at, where you're moving the marker, the big red thing, towards the end of the game, and you have to, like, move it around this room. And it's, like, wave after wave of enemies with no checkpoints. And it's, like, it's so annoying. And that goes back to that padding where it's just, like, they're, like, yeah, we gotta get this to, like, 12 hours. So let's just have, like, three more waves of enemies come out. And
yeah.
It's, like, okay. Like, it'd be different if there were different gameplay elements introduced. And I guess the guns are kind of like that, but the telekinesis where you can throw things, I thought that was really cool. And I wish there was more opportunities in the game to use that. Because basically what you can do is you can throw a pole, you can rip off their spikes and throw those. You can throw fire extinguishers or if there's like explosives. But I almost wish there was more to that. Like if you could, I don't know, like pick up an alive enemy and throw him or like basically have the Force from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just like you're running in circles, just shooting these trains of enemies. And you're just switching to weapons, whatever has the most ammo, because it's just unlimited waves of enemies. I don't know. I sound really negative on the game. I still recommend you go play it if you can. It's really fun.
So I'm only on chapter 4 right now, but
oh my God, there's so many more chapters after that. There's like 12 chapters.
Well, that's how it was in the original. But is that regenerator thing still in there?
What is that?
So it's like another monster, and when you would shoot
The Hunter?
Is that what it's called?
That's what where you shoot all its legs off, but then it just regrows and keeps chasing you. Yeah. You fight that thing like 3 times.
Oh,
it's called the Hunter. It's pretty obvious because it reminds me of, I think they do the exact same thing in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, they do.
So it's the same gimmick where you have to find something in the environment to kill it. The one time you blast it with the spaceship thrusters, the other time you cryogenically freeze it. So there's always a gimmick. Your best bet is just run away. And the more I played the game, whenever it's not locked down, you could just keep moving. I didn't realize you could just run past most of the bad guys. So I started doing that because I just wanted the game to end. There is cool things, though, where, like, the doors, when you open the doors and go to the next room, you think you're safe. But sometimes the enemies will follow you and, like, pop out of a vent. Like, that's pretty cool. A lot of jump scares, though, which, you know, I'm not a fan of. But I had the sound down anyway. And eventually you can start predicting them because they're really obvious when they're going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I like about the game, the jump scares. One more thing. You ever play the game Skate?
Skate? Yeah. I think I might have played the third one.
The third one? The first one was okay. The one thing I didn't like about Skate, you couldn't get off your board, and then they implemented that getting off your board and walking around in the second one. And then the third one was just basically the same as Skate 2.
Yeah, I'm really bad at skateboarding games. Like, I tried playing the remake of the Tony Hawk games. Something in my brain, I just can't figure it out. I'm just not good at them.
Tony Hawk was fun. I mean, my favorite game, and I think this is everyone's favorite game who's played it, was Tony Hawk's American Wasteland. And it took place in Hollywood, so you can go to Hollywood, East LA, Santa Monica. There's like an oil rig that you have to, you know, go under a thing to get to, like under a tunnel. It was a really fun game. I would recommend you watch that playthrough.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'm just bad at skating games. Like, I'm bad at fighting games, but I still play them. Skating games, I sucked at and never really got into them.
No?
No.
Skateboarding games, like, Tony Hawk was always a big thing for me growing up. But I wasn't a fan of the last Tony Hawk game. Not the remake. It was called Proving Ground.
Oh, yeah. No one liked that game, right?
Yeah, because basically you're doing a trick, and then you got to press, like, R3 and whatever the other one analog is. And then you got to, like, do, like, a certain movement with the board. It was stupid.
Yeah, I heard that people were very excited for it, but then when it came out, because everybody compares it to, especially because the remakes of Underground 1 and 2 came out.
Right.
Everyone's like, this is not that.
No, it was so boring. I mean, I don't know. I like skateboarding games though, but there's another game. What about Attack and the Power of Juju? You ever play that?
I watched the show. I think I might have had a Game Boy game of that.
I hated that show.
Yeah.
The show was so stupid.
It was very ugly. Like the animation style and like the character designs. I don't know. I just every time I think of that, I just think of like because they were in the jungle, right? Like yeah. I don't know. I would never want to get stuck in the jungle personally. Like got a big problem with bugs. A lot of bugs in the jungle. So that's kind of all I could ever think about when I was watching that show.
So there was a video game, and I remember, so I used to play Rocket Power Beach Bandits.
Never heard of that.
Never. It's a TV, well, Rocket Power is a TV show, but it was on the PlayStation. They made it a video game. And for some of the Nickelodeon games, they would have trailers for upcoming games, and TAC was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got TAC, I was like, this is awesome. And then when I started reading the characters... One character stuck out to me. His name was Dinky Juju, and he looked like a deflated wiener.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the only character.
Is he your favorite character?
No, he was a boss.
Oh.
I think he was a boss. I could be wrong, but.
I mean, it's an interesting name.
Dinky Juju, and then there was Gronk, I think, or Kronk.
Rob Gronkowski.
I don't know.
Oh, Kronk from. Well, there's the guy from Emperor's New Groove.
That was the character who played him, I think.
Oh.
Let me see.
Patrick Warburton, the actor?
Yeah.
Joe from Family Guy?
Let's see. I'm going to look him up real quick. So, Attack and the Power of Juju, that was the TV show as well, but it was a video game. Let's see. If you can see that.
Yeah.
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 That was the game, but they made like 7 like remakes.
Yeah, I think I had whatever... That was back in the good old days when they would port, really bad ports to the Game Boy Advance. I think I had that.
Oh, that's interesting. One of the characters has a... Oh, the guy's name was Locke.
Oh.
So who played Locke? Let's see.
Who knows?
Who played Locke?
I mean, I can look it up.
Patrick Warburton.
Hey-o, yep. Called it. Yeah, his voice is pretty iconic.
Yeah, that was a good...
Attack and the Power of Juju, a strong 3.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
I liked the game. It was weird, though, but the second one was easy, or better. And you could transform into, like, a flea.
Sure.
The game was just, like, an
pretty
interesting
good,
game.
Pretty good cast for Attack and the Power of Juju. Rob Paulsen, like, a lot of classic voice actors. Hal Sparks as Tack, that probably has aged well.
I've always wondered that, like, with, like, certain actors, too. Like, if they're playing, like, a character that's, like, 10 years old, like, how do they get that voice down?
Well, there's the... What's her name? The woman that voices... She's very famous. I'm going to have to look her up. I want to say her name. She voiced, like, Azula in Avatar. Hang on. I'm blanking on the name. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, like... There's a couple prominent female voice actors that do that, like, baby voice. And when you see them do it, like, especially when you're looking at them, it's really disorienting. You're like, how are you doing that? Greg Griffin, that's what I was
Greg Griffin. Or were you thinking of...
There's another one, too, that I'm thinking of.
Nancy Cartwright?
Maybe, yeah. She did... She's Bart, right? Yeah.
Or are you thinking of the girl that played Timmy Turner?
Yes.
What's her fucking name?
I'm looking it up. The show is not called Timmy Turner.
Timmy Turner. Fairly Odd Parents.
Tara Strong.
Tara Strong. That's probably who you're thinking of.
Yes, it is.
She's actually not bad looking. I have her on Instagram. I actually tried to hit her up to come on my show, but she never answered.
Yeah, probably because you say she's good looking on your podcast. She's like, I don't want to go on that show. Yeah, she voices Harley Quinn, too, in a lot of things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's still very active. Yeah, she's great. She's one of the legends of the voice acting industry.
Oh, she actually did message me. I just never got back to her. Oops. Wow. Oh, well.
Well, probably for the best.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're going on 50 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, we can probably wrap up.
Yeah, so what do you have? So you got your podcast?
Yeah, let me plug all that one more time. No Credits Rolled, wherever you get your podcast. Like I said, episode 4 will be going up this time. This week or next week at the time of recording. But yeah, just search No Credits Rolled. The logo is like a blue controller, and you can find it wherever you get your podcast. I'd appreciate it if you subscribe or download or whatever you want to do, interact with it. And yeah, thanks for having me on, bro.
Oh, no problem. We're going to do this again.
We got it.
Maybe next episode I'll make you do TV show intros.
Oh yeah, I'll crush that.
All right, bet. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the close, and then we'll go from there. All right, that's the interview. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you smash a like and follow on Spotify and Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and much more. Like I said, we have a lot more fun stuff coming your way in just a few moments as well. There's a lot of fun shows coming up soon, and I have some good ideas. I mean, like I said, there's so many ideas that I have. There's so many things I want to do, and this show is a good outlet. And you know what? If Putin sends a rocket up to space, hopefully it doesn't knock out our satellites. Hopefully it knocks out his satellites. And, you know, I'll still be on the show. But no, we are here to get through this. And there's a lot of things to get through. So I hope you guys do enjoy what I talk about. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of stuff we don't agree on. There's certain things I don't agree with. A lot of things going on in this world today. And I'm sure most people are like that. We live in a very opinionated country. And we're allowed to have these opinions and allowed to talk about our feelings. Because if you did it in somewhere else, well, it wouldn't fly very well. So, yeah. But, yeah, like I said, this is my outlet, and this is what we talk about. So, hope you guys enjoy it. God willing, hopefully nothing goes on over the weekend. Hopefully it's a quiet weekend for a lot of us. I will be back next week. I have 3 episodes coming up next week. Especially one with Jason Martinez. And then I have a couple more interviews coming up as well. And I think I'm going to take a week off. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, let's see. What day is it? It's the 16th. I could probably take a week off in March. Do a best of. I don't know. Maybe a week off for the first week of March. And then come back and then take 2 weeks off in April. I don't know. I usually, every time around this year, I always like think of when I want to take a couple weeks off. So we'll see what happens. That's how I usually do it. We'll see. All right. So like I said, interview next week, and then I'll probably take a week off in March. We'll see. I don't know. I'm still waiting to see what happens. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people are like, TJ, why are you taking a week off, or what are you doing? Here's the thing. I've been doing 3 episodes since the middle of January, like the week after my birthday. I could tell you exactly when I first came on back in January. I came back into podcasting January. I'm looking at it right now. I came back January 15th. So, yeah, I gotta take a break, you know? Oh, I also wanted to mention on, I think it was Tuesday, we had a big snowstorm, and it really wasn't the best. I hated that. I had to drive to work. It was the worst. Oh, man, I hated driving. I hate snow. Can it just be, like, nice again? Can it be nice, please? I'm begging you, God, out there, somebody. Can we live in, like, Florida? That'd be great if I lived in Florida. Oh, man, that'd be so great. All right. I'm out. I'll see you guys later. Love y'all to death. And I'm going to play my commercial and then we'll go. All right. Bye. Are you a small business owner? Do you want your business to be promoted on all social media platforms? Well, feel free to email me, tjg0114@yahoo.com. And I will promote your small business on Spotify, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram for just a small price. So email me, tjg0114@yahoo.com, and I will promote your small business.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats.